Some of you might also be learners, you don't know much about cybersecurity. So what you do is you log on to Skillshare.com. This is where we have classes that can help you improve your skill. Once you come to Skillshare, once you open the site and you create your account, you search here. Let's say you search cyber security, which is right here. Exactly. And then, depending on the level of knowledge that you already have so far, you can choose if you want beginner, intermediate, or advanced. So if you have no clue whatsoever about cybersecurity, you click on beginners. And then you pick a class. So cybersecurity for normal people, how to protect yourself online. Let's pick this classes by Brad Merrill. So these are some of the topics that...
Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Brad Merrill.
Let me just pause that. But yes, so these are some of the classes that you will get from Brad Merrill. He's an entrepreneur, he's a tech journalist. So welcome to the course, Why Security Matters, Importance of Multi-Layer Security, all this stuff. So we've just discussed this on the YouTube channel, but not in depth. But Skillshare will help you understand this cybersecurity topic even at more depth. So check out Skillshare. For the first 1,000 people, you'll get a 1 month free subscription. I have put the link in the description below.
Hi guys, this is yet another episode of the Psycho Podcast. This is part of the special episode that we have been working on in conjunction with Communications Authority of Kenya, just trying to ensure that our kids, well, not mine, but the kids, it's also our kids, are safe and they're having a good online experience. And so what we're going to be doing today is that I have a team of experts. You know, we looked around East Africa, West Africa, North, South, and we're like, who are some of the best people to come on this show and educate us how different stakeholders in the industry come together to ensure that kids have a safer environment on the online space? Because it takes a village to ensure that all these things are followed and, you know, children are protected on the online space. So I'll start from my right. I have Mary from Safaricom. Mary, just say hi to the guys.
Hello everyone. Yeah. My name is Mary Deshoke. Yeah. I work at Safaricom. I'm a public policy expert.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming to the show.
And to my left, I have Athena. It's written as A-T-H-E-N-A. But don't say Athena. Like, yo, get the program. It's Athena. And she's a consultant with CA.
Hi,
Athena.
Hi everyone. My name is Athena Morgan. I am a consultant and I'm working with Communications Authority in facilitating the child online protection
program. Feel free to send us alarms katika Virginia, Virginia, South America. Feel free to my father's left. I have Martha. Hi Martha.
Hi.
She is the director at Childline Kenya. Say hi to guys.
Hello. Well, this is going to be an interesting discussion. Happy to meet you. My name is Martha Sunda. I work at Childline Kenya as the executive director.
So let's just jump right into it. This one is for Athena. How does CA, which is Communications Authority of Kenya, how do you guys ensure that the different stakeholders in this
industry? Because you see, when kids are watching stuff online, we have there's the internet provider. They're the people who provide that content. How do you ensure that everyone works together so that this machine is well oiled and we are keeping the children safe?
Thank you for that question. Under the Child Online Protection Program, there have been two phases since it was launched. This is the third year now.
Yeah.
And the phases look at two different main stakeholders.
Yeah.
We have the adults and we have the children themselves.
Yeah.
So the first phase was be the cop.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a call to the adults.
Mm.
You need to be the cop. You need to be the one who takes responsibility to ensure that children, whether they're yours or children under your care, are safe online.
Yeah.
And by saying children under your care, I mean a teacher, a pastor, or a youth leader.
Yeah.
As long as you interact with the child, you have to be the cop. Then the second phase came in that was launched towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
This is targeting the kids.
Mm.
Who is it to cheza? To call cyber smart.
Yeah, who is it to cheza? Hashtag.
So, yes, that's that, now that's the kid saying. Now, me as a kid, I have a responsibility to make sure that I am cyber smart, I am educated, and I know how to protect myself online.
Yeah.
So under the Be the Cop, phase one, that's when different adult stakeholders came together. As you said, the ISPs, we have worked with law enforcement, we have worked with legal organizations and even international organizations to see how we can collaborate in these efforts to ensure that adults play their role to make sure that children are safe online. And now this podcast, what we're doing now, is more under the mandate of Kawezi Tucheza.
Kawezi Tucheza.
So I am expecting to see kids here.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So now we want to know, how educated are the kids? Do you know what to click on and what not to? Do you know not to meet a stranger who you meet online, not to meet them offline? And do you go to your parent when you have a doubt about the online platform? So basically the stakeholders were divided into two. And both faces are covering both. And the trainings that Communications Authority has been doing under the Be The Cop campaign through the African Advanced Level Telecommunication Institute has seen that the adult stakeholders from different institutes that are mandated mainly with child protection or child care have taken part in that. And since you can't train everyone, we say, if I tell you, tell someone another else. Our target, because you can't train every Kenyan, is if I train you, go and train the other person adult you interact with. For example, in your office, you have 10, 20 colleagues, so if I train you under the Leader Corp campaign, I expect the other 10 colleagues in your office will also be trained. So it's a collective responsibility, as you have said. It takes a village.
And this is also a call to action to the guys who are watching us. Like, don't just gain this information for yourself. Pass it over to other people. I think every society has a responsibility to take care of the kids. And later on, you're going to be discussing, we're going to be discussing about the effects of not protecting the kids, because there are consequences as well. So thank you so much, Athena. Martha, tell us now. So, Chala in Kenya, maybe you can start with a short description of what do you guys do and how does the organization work? And then now we come to its role. So we can start by telling us what's Chala.
Brilliant. So Chala in Kenya is an NGO, but we work very closely with the Department of Children's Services, now the Directorate of Children's Services, to provide the National Child Helpline Service in Kenya. You all know 911.
Yeah, Ilia policing.
As much as we haven't been to the US.
Yeah.
So it's the same concept, but now this one is 116 here in Kenya and for children. So that's the service.
So if just to synthesize this, most cases are big names. When you're talking with experts, you deal with big names, Bwana Esh. So whenever you see a child is being abused, or whenever, if you have such an incident, the number...
Or you might even just want to ask for information about child protection. Nobody's in trouble, but you're just keen to know, so what exactly do you mean when you talk about sexual abuse, for instance?
So the number you call is 116, and toll free. Yeah, Kenyans are stress scary free. What a pig. But just call when you have something serious.
Let me tell you this. So apart from the number 116, and obviously because we are on the online space, people have different preferences. We also have WhatsApp, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Instagram.
Yeah.
So people can also send us messages or chat with us on those platforms. So when you call in, depending on the issue that is being presented, so we have some of the cases where someone has been violated, either online or offline, they have been violated as a child. So then we will find out what the issue is, come up with a treatment plan, link them with a service provider, and follow up to see that they have been assisted as a child. And it's both the child and their family, because sometimes as you counsel or provide therapy to the child, to sustain that positive change, you need to engage
the family as well.
So you will provide counseling for the family, their parents, their siblings, sometimes a whole class or a whole school, so that they are not stigmatized
the victim.
Of what they have gone through. So it's a whole thing to support this child. Anyway, so apart from the violations, we also have calls or situations where someone is calling to ask for counseling. So I'm affected by ABCD, like my grades, we are fighting with my siblings. Or something, I have conflict with my parents, I need someone to talk to. So we provide counseling, not because they're violated, but because they're affected by a certain situation. And then now the third group, which I spoke about earlier, where they're asking for information. So we provide that for the children. And it's any child, anyone below 18. And you see, even if they are not below 18, they could be an adult, but they are concerned about a child. They can also reach out, because eventually the context is around a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is what the service does, and that is what we are responsible for as Child Line Kenya and the government through the Directorate of Children's Services.
So the government also supports you through the director?
Actually, the number 116 belongs to the government.
Okay.
So Child Line, the NGO, manages that line with government.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Yes.
That's a good
call. And even when the cases are reported to us, especially when there's violation, there's need for rescue and all that, government coordinates that.
Yeah.
So we only alert them and link them in charge.
Okay. You'd be shocked that maybe some of the guys watching might not know what they might know about offline abuse, but they might not know what online abuse looks like. What does that look like?
It takes different forms.
Yeah.
So you have situations where you are, we call it grooming.
Yeah.
But this is how it presents. Someone befriends you.
Yeah.
Then you engage over time and they gain your trust as a child or even an adult. Of course, this context is children and young people, but it could be anybody. So you start trusting them with a little more information about yourself.
Yeah.
And it's usually very safe.
Yeah.
Until they start making certain demands of you. Mm-hmm. Send me this photo. Then you think, but I know Ben.
Yeah.
It is safe. Then you send that photo. Then they start using that photo against you. Send me another one with this kind of
setting.
Or I will release that one. Then you decide, okay. So you keep doing that. Now it has moved from grooming. Grooming is where they were preparing you for this.
Yeah.
It has become sextortion. Now they're using that to extort you
sexually.
Or to blackmail you, so to speak, using the content you have already given up.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, I'll release this to your parents, to your friends. Remember, these are usually young people. Their image is everything to them.
Yeah.
So they're thinking, to protect my image, then I need to cooperate with this person.
Yeah.
Before long, you're perhaps even meeting with this person.
Wow.
Innocently, you're out of fear and threats, and it goes from online, now it has become offline.
You're
taking advantage of things like that.
Sometimes
they give you money, so they say, all you need to do is send me your nudes and pay for each.
And this they're sending this to kids?
Yes.
And how often have you gotten these cases?
So from 2018, we became a little keen on them.
Yeah.
And in 2018, we attended to 13 children who were affected.
Yeah.
In 2019, that moved to 180 something cases.
From 13 to 180?
Yes. 2020, 2021, we have gone to 246.
So, what?
So, the situation, it is there, it's only that children, let me say, the community doesn't know what to do about it. So, when you're creating awareness about it, then people think, hala! Wait a minute, I have been through this, or I know someone who's been through this, then they start talking about it. Then they seek help for themselves and other people. So that's what is happening.
Yeah.
This is happening a little underwater.
Yeah.
Shini amai.
Yeah.
You may, but it is there, and it's big. And then there's also the issue of stigma. So what will they think of me when I come out? So it's really a bold step for them to come out and say, actually, I am affected.
Because the kid is also feeling guilty, and maybe they might think it's their fault.
Most of the time, they actually feel it's their fault because they're thinking, why did I accept that
request?
It's not their fault, it's how that was presented to them, and they were on the online space. And now, with COVID, schooling online, church online, shopping online, everything online.
Yeah.
So they were already in the online space.
Yeah.
Someone just took advantage of them. So they need to themselves, or at least they be
helped
to come out.
Wow. So if you know somebody, if you have a relative who's younger than 18 and you've seen them go through this kind of an experience, the toll number that you need to call is 116, and somebody will be able to assist you from the other side. So what's the role of Child Line in like ensuring that children are safe on the online space? What do you guys do?
Okay, so because of that situation as it is, we do three things. One, we create awareness about child online safety.
Yes.
What is it? How does it manifest?
Yeah.
How do you prevent it or protect yourself as a child from being exposed? And unfortunately, when it happens, what do you do?
Mm.
So we give that information largely on our social media platforms, But sometimes we have opportunity to engage with children in schools,
yeah,
and in churches, and we take advantage of that to pass that message.
Yeah.
And then, so that is creation, increasing awareness of child online safety. And then now there's the access to child protection services, like the health. So we make sure it's available, we make sure we have provided adequate channels of access,
yeah,
so that say you call and you find it's busy, you can WhatsApp,
you can tweet,
you know, whatever you're up
to. Yeah.
Then the third part is actually responding. So it's, yeah, not enough that someone reported the support,
yeah,
after,
yeah,
they reported.
Yeah.
So providing them with the service, counseling, rescue sometimes,
yeah,
legal support, even going to court and following it to the end.
Yeah.
And then just the ongoing therapy for the child and their family, you know.
Yeah.
So responding to the issue that
has been raised. Wow. You guys are doing a good job. That's really kind. Nice. So let me come to Mary.
Did I say all that for free? Yes.
Oh, it's free.
It is free to the child. So that is why we always seek funding.
Yeah.
So that we're able to provide the service to the child for free. Because otherwise, counseling, just a session of counseling, is about 2,500,
yeah,
per session. Just how many sessions
they need, like, will a child, 10 or something,
or a family that is struggling,
yeah,
be able to pay for counseling?
Yeah.
Legal support, if you know how much it costs to just have a lawyer, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So we provide that for free to the child.
Wow. Okay, that's really good. Congratulations. You guys are doing an amazing job. So let me come to Mary from Safaricom. So Safaricom is a big player in the whole region, I'd even say in Africa, but that's not. Safaricom is a big one. Like, I'm proud to, like, that brand comes from Kenya, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you should see me telling people about M-Pesa from other countries. Oh, well, you guys, we have mobile money, you know? So, and I know it's not like legally bound to ensure that this space is protected, or is it? Maybe you're the one who's gonna tell us.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys do to ensure that as an ISP, an internet service provider, that space is also safe for kids as they consume the content?
Okay. Just before I then respond to,
yeah,
I wanted to add to something Martha,
yeah,
has said.
Please.
So there's a report that Interpol did in collaboration with UNICEF and ECPAT.
Yeah.
And it's called Disrupting the Harm of Kenya. It shows you the...
Disrupting
Harm in Kenya. So it shows you the number of cases of online sexual abuse that,
yeah,
starts online and it goes to the physical offline space. So that should be able to give you even a snapshot of... Because the survey was done from 1,014 houses,
yeah,
so just to see, even that was a small number comparable, but the impact is really there. So,
yeah,
that should be able to help people understand what you're talking about and what you're dealing with. And from that statistics, it was noted that 2/3 of children who are in the online space do not actually know or have the knowledge on online abuse and how to actually reach out for help and support.
Yeah.
And 14% of cases that happen offline, they first met
online.
Yes.
So out of that number she's given us, approximately or roughly 14% of those proceeded to, wow,
actual physical.
Wow.
Meetups, yes. So as Safaricom, contrary to what you've said,
yeah,
we have an obligation.
Mm.
So under the International Telecommunication Union,
yeah,
they come up with guidelines that governs the ICT industry on,
yeah,
what we are supposed to do when it comes to the COP. So they started a COP initiative where they gave guidelines for ICT, for all the stakeholders, policymaker,
yeah,
ICT industry players, parents, guidance, what you need to do when it comes to ensuring safety of children in the online,
yeah,
space.
Yeah.
Here locally, under the Kenya Information and Communication Act,
yeah,
we have a mandate on consumer protection. So the CA has also guidelines, the Consumer Protection Act, which governs our mandate to protect our consumers,
yeah,
including children. But ideally, the COP initiative, what we are anchored on,
mm-hmm,
when it comes to online safety.
Yeah.
So also as a company, being a corporate, good corporate responsibility, practicing corporate responsibility,
yeah,
As Safaricom in 2014, we did a child rights policy that governs how our workings when it comes to dealing with children, because under the UN Convention, children are considered as vulnerable.
Yeah.
Which, so that is one of the things that informs even our child rights policy.
Yeah.
We also have a children online protection policy that governs how we operate when it comes to product development. Mm. So COP under Safaricom, we have four anchors how we look at it. So we approach it from a policy level,
okay,
where we work with the CA, the DCS, the different government agencies to just support in policy making, just coming up with regulations that actually speak to the safety of a child. Then we have on the human rights angle where we work with different partners, UNICEF, the UN, UNHCR, Chadline, like we work with almost everyone just to ensure that the rights of a child are actually protected and the child is kept safe.
Yeah.
And then now when it comes to now to the product development, where we actually, when we come up with products, we ensure that our kids are kept safe. So we've developed safety tool for our home subscribers. It's called SecureNet. So under SecureNet, if you're a home subscriber, you're able to get an extra add-on service that you're able to monitor, block content that you don't want your child to actually be able to access.
Let me stop you there. I've seen that when I'm paying for the fiber monthly.
Yes.
And every time it asks me a question about protection, but I always think Nikitu antivirus, protection against hackers. But that was the first thought that I had when I checked it out. So it's actually to keep kids safe.
It's multifaceted.
Yeah.
Our consumer is not only a child. So we have someone who wants to be protected from malware, phishing, and all that. That is incorporated in SecureNet. We have a parent who wants to be able to block content, to monitor, and even just to put time out for screens and for the kids who are using the devices and gadgets while connected to the Wi-Fi. So you're able to do that.
Yeah.
And you're even able to block specific sites.
Yeah.
So we put it back to even power the customer. We've given you back the power.
Mm-hmm.
You control what you want to be seen and done in your home.
Yeah.
So that's where SecureNet is there. And the beauty about it is you get the first month for free, so you don't have to pay. Then after that, that's when you pay. So you get to experience it.
Yeah.
And we've even gone to a point, it's not available on your mobile phone, so you're able to just even, on our Safaricom app, you're able to access it and use it. Over and above that, our base, which is our content angle for our Safaricom, we've been able to create, we have 206 hours of children content, and if you're subscribing, you have the ability to actually set up a children account, set up the age limit, and block out content that is harmful, and our content is all rated, so it's even makes it easy for you. So you're assured if I'm putting 12, the age of 12, they only see ratings up to 12.
The age of 12.
Yes. So that is even when it comes to product development, we always put a child in the mind. We as Safaricom, we do not operate. There's never one day we will ever portray a child different from who they are. They are a child.
Yeah.
This is something we also hold our suppliers accountable to.
Yeah.
So we go over and above this online protection.
Yeah.
We also work with International Watch Foundation. So this is an NGO that deals with monitoring content and sites globally that are harmful, that deal with child sexual exploitation material, abuse material. So they send us links that they are. We have a partnership with them where they get to block all the sites into Kenya that has exploitative material that is not good for kids. We work with UNICEF. Our partnership is
it's
massive. This year we've been working with UNICEF on the Spot It, Stop It campaign.
So
this is geared towards ending all violence against children.
Yeah.
But we also have an online aspect of whereby we've done a bit of training and awareness on what is online abuse, what is online protection, how do you keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
So that's the campaign we've been running for this year.
Yeah.
We've also worked with them to just even bring out sites that empower kids. So we have a site on Internet of Things where young people can go, even if you don't have, we've zero rated it, there's no cost to that.
Yeah.
They can go learn skills, participate in this discussion, just get their voice heard.
Mm.
The list is...
there's the policies, there's the human rights, there's the Wi-Fi protection even on your phone.
Yes.
And then the collaboration with also international
bodies. Even too. Like with the CA we work, so we have a charter that industry players came and signed it. So it's a commitment that we signed under the GSMA WeCare umbrella, where all the industry players, key industry players came in and signed and committed to ensuring safety of kids.
Yeah.
And under that charter, at least we've been able to achieve quite a few milestones. So we've done an SMS awareness campaign that started in August 2021, and it's running through.
Yeah.
We've working on just having this material and content on our website so that if you need any information, if you need to know how to get to 116, you can report and all that. That has been done. And also now we did the development of the interactive child online website, where now kids can go, parents can go access information first, learn, know what are all these abusive traits that happen when they're online, and how kids can keep, and parents can keep themselves safe. Parents can monitor, kids can keep themselves safe, and how to identify some of these risks. Yes.
And that's important because some people might be going through abuse, but they don't even know that that's a form of abuse. Exactly. So Martha, my next question is actually to you. Any final remarks that you have towards this? Then we come to Athena and Mary.
Okay. Everybody has a responsibility in protecting children, including the child themselves. So it's not one-sided.
Yeah.
And just because I don't have any children of my own, does not mean I don't have responsibility over the children around me.
Yeah.
Even just when we are taking the bus together.
Yeah.
What am I watching on my phone? And this child is standing so they can see what content I have on my phone. I have a responsibility to protect
the child.
When I am concerned about a neighbor who is, say, playing certain videos in their house, do I shut off? Do I raise alarm for someone to come check it out?
No.
Do I talk to them and say, I'm a bit concerned about this? So we cannot hide our heads in the sand.
Yeah.
No, we can't. This is everybody's responsibility. Now, if we do not take responsibility, we are affecting not just this generation, but several generations
to come.
And at different levels.
Okay.
As parents, as key decision makers, you know?
Yeah.
Things like that. So it's crucial that we see the bigger picture
as opposed
to a minute picture here, right?
Under you.
You know, so I think that is my parting shot. And it's everybody, including the youth,
who
are engaging with us on this platform.
Yeah. Wow, that's powerful. That it takes a village. It's not a one person. It's not a one person's responsibility. And you take care of this child today, it's like you're taking care of your own, because children are supposed to grow.
And of yourself.
Yeah.
Because when they're hurt, you're also a victim somehow.
Yeah.
If you're not careful.
Nice one. Athena.
So for me, what I'd say is, in child online protection, there is no one shoe that fits all.
Yeah.
Children are different. Parents are different. Mm. Backgrounds are different.
Yeah.
You can't compare a kid in the urban area with a kid in the slum area.
True.
So when you're approaching the issue of child online protection, always make sure you understand where the people are coming from, whether it's the adult or the child. Mm. And then from there, you can build them up with a level at which they will understand and know how to protect themselves going forward.
Wow. Yes. That's powerful. Thank you so much, Athena, for that closing remark. Mary, close this for us. Give us some closing remarks that you might have.
Okay. My closing remarks would be, it takes a village. As Safaricom, we've given the tools, and we're still continuing in this journey to just ensure that we are protecting our consumers. But then there's a responsibility which I'll throw back to the parents to just ensure you're monitoring, check what your kids are doing. Be observant, learn, and also learn with them just to find out what is this they've been exposed to, what can I do, what tools are available over and above and what as Safaricom we have, just to ensure that you know, you're in the know of what your kid is being exposed to. And also just for the stakeholders, let's continue doing the work we're doing. It's still a journey, and I hope we will eventually be able to reduce these numbers. And as we close, just to say from Safaricom, we've seen the benefits of internet, and that's why every day we'll keep coming up with solutions and products that actually are going to empower our customers to ensure that they're able to even realize the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. And we also want to encourage and keep encouraging our customers to keep up with just checking what's available, working with us, challenging us to come up with more innovative solutions so that we can actually win this fight.
Mm. Wow, thank you so much, Mary. And thank you so much for you guys who've stayed tuned since we started this show until now that we are coming to a conclusion. I'm sure you guys have taken out key insights, one of them being that if you don't protect the child today, most probably that effect is going to be felt tomorrow, and they might continue with the same thing that they were exposed to as children. If your child is exhibiting some of these signs or has a sort of misbehavior, look at it from a place of understanding, not necessarily from bashing. And as Mary has said, it takes a village. This is a collective responsibility that we need to be part of as a society. Thank you so much for watching. See you on the next episode. Have a great day.